You're listening to SBS News.
In 2002, I was a university graduate. Most young girls and women were restricted by a defiant dress code imposed by the government. But personally, I was not adhering to it. I used to wear trousers, and this was the reason I was arrested.
Amira Osman Hamid there. In 1989, General Omar al-Bashir took charge of Sudan, a country which had been at civil war for 6 years.
There's been a military coup in Sudan. A state of emergency is now in force and the Prime Minister, Sadiq al-Mahdi, is reported to have been arrested. There have been months of tension in Sudan because of disagreements between the army and the government.
The Islamist President Bashir introduced a new law in 1991, which gave authorities sweeping powers to control what people wore, who they spoke to, and any job they might have, with women particularly targeted. Perceived offenders faced punishment by whipping or, in rare cases, stoning and even execution. Amira says it was an unsafe time for women.
That particular phase of the regime was the beginning of imposing Islamic rule and attempting to turn Sudanese society into a Taliban-style one. The moment you, as a Sudanese woman, left your home, you would feel unsafe. Because in addition to policemen, there were large numbers of vigilante men roaming the streets. They thought they had the right to carry a whip and beat you and do whatever they liked.
Amira says, along with many women challenging the law, there are also a number of men who supported them.
Nevertheless, there were brave women who stood up to this. And there were a number of respected Sudanese men who would come forward in defense of any woman. But we could not challenge anyone legally, as they had been supported by the government. They used religion as a tool in spreading the thought that waging war would mean going to heaven. Honestly, it was conducive to utter emotional and psychological confusion, and it was very demoralizing. It meant utter oppression of the Sudanese citizen.
Amira, who is a computer engineer, had always been determined to wear what she wanted.
My family were not strict about my dressing, but they continuously advised me to wear a skirt and a long-sleeve blouse with a head covering in order to avoid trouble. But I was always involved in problems. When I was in my early 20s, seldom a month passed without me being a guest in a police station or being assaulted in the street because of my dress.
People close to Amira worried that something serious could happen to her.
There was obviously concern among my family and friends, as I would contact them whenever I was in a problem. I would need them to commission a lawyer, or I would need money to bribe the security person. I became an expert in bribing policemen and deceiving them to avoid getting to the police station or to a court of law.
And in 2002, Amira was wearing trousers as normal on a visit to an internet cafe in Khartoum with a friend. Two men in the cafe wearing civilian clothes began to harass them. And when they were ignored, they started shouting, saying they worked for the government and that they shouldn't be wearing trousers. Then the men called the police and officers took Amira by force to the police station.
Of course, it was a very scary and terrifying day. It was humiliating. Where I had to stand there like a model with lots of policemen commenting on the way I looked. Every one of them was using very abusive language. I was given a fine that could be turned into a 1 month imprisonment if the fine was not paid.
Since her arrest and fine, Amira has continued to wear the clothes she wants and has become an activist, founding the organisation No to the Oppression of Women in Sudan. Amira says she and her organisation stands in solidarity with the women of Iran and the whole Middle East, following protests there of the death of a woman in police custody, detained for breaking hijab laws. The public order law was in place in Sudan until 2019 after President Bashir was overthrown. But Amira says not much has improved since. Peggy Giacomelos from SBS News with that story by the BBC's Laura Jones.